We have two sources for the Chiv to read the Megillah twice, both by Yom Balayla. We have Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Elokai Ekra Yomam Velo Sane Velayla Velo Dumyuli. And then we have Rabbi Chelbo Omer Ula, Chai Vodim Likos Megillah Balayla Shiros Vishenem Alaman Yizam Mercha Chavod Velo Yidom Hashem Elokai Liolam Odeka. And as we saw yesterday, this pasuk is in Kapitel Lamed, Mizmor Shir, Chanukas Abayis, which according to the Psik, there's a reference to Mordechai the Esther. At the end of this Kapitel Lamed, it says, L'man Yizamer Chavod, Shazamer Vashabeach Bayom, Al Yidei Kriyas HaMegillah. That's how we're interpreting this pasuk. That through Kriyas HaMegillah in this person on this, everybody comes and she says to me, Shabeach and Makali Slakodish Torah. So before we start the new Sugya for today, which is on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, just four lines up from the bottom, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk L'Maan Yizamer Chavod. I wanted to see the Rashi there. Yizamer Chavod, four lines up from the bottom. And this, according to Rabbi Chelbo, is the source for a double reading of the Megillah Balayla Ubayom. So Rashi says, Yizamercha Chavod Bayom, V'lo Yidom Balayla. So the first part of the Pasuk, according to Rashi's interpretation, refers to Yom. And that's very important for Tosus here on the bottom, because Tosus says if Yom comes first, it means the Iker Kriya is Bayom. Which means that you recite Shechiyonu Bayom, even though you already recited Shechiyonu Balayla. And then V'lo Yidom, the end of the pasuk, according to Rashi, is Balayla. Now at this point, Rashi goes off on a whole explanation here to answer the question, how does this pasuk connect to Mikra Megillah? In other words, yes, we should thank Hashem and praise Hashem both by day and by night, but Ma Kesher, what does this have to do with Kriyas HaMegillah? So Rashi says, "Hai kra this pasuk b'mizmar u'mimcha Hashem ki dilisani darshina b'psikta b'mardachai v'ester." This pasuk, according to the psikta, is an allusion to Mardachai and Esther, and it would seem that therefore this pasuk, which reflects the theme of shevach of hodoya, is a result of the miracle. In other words, as opposed to the first Yalfusa, which was Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, where Esther, in the 22nd chapter of Tehillim, is going into Achashverosh and she desperately needs God's help. So there's a solemn mood of supplication. Now we're talking about the aftermath of the miracle and Shevach. So if this Kapitel, says Rashi, is referring to Mordechai v'Esther, and it's at the time of Haman v'Achashverosh, and after the entire episode, and God saves them. Now we can take this pasuk and connect it to the Megillah. Why? Because the Megillah itself, says Rashi, has an element of Shevach Lodoya. Where do you see that? So Rashi says, "Ukriyas haMegillah Shevachu." So again, we're putting together A plus B equals C. A means that this capital is referring to Mordechai and Esther. B, that Kriyas HaMegillah itself is Shevach. So the theme of this Shevach, which is embodied in this particular chapter of Tehillim, is related to the episode of Mordechai and Esther. And now we're going to plug in Kriyas HaMegillah because Kriyas HaMegillah is Shevach. Now, how do I know that Kriyas HaMegillah, reading the Megillah, is Shevach? And once again, we could ask the question, is this on a private level or only when we read the Megillah publicly? Says Rashi, Shemefarsimim Esadnes. It sounds like we're talking about the public. That's the impression I get. Vakol Mekalsim LaKodesh Baruch. Once again, Rashi emphasizes the Rabbim here, the Akol Mekalsim LaKodesh Baruch. Everybody's coming together for Kilus, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the aftermath of this great miracle. Now, towards the end of the Shia yesterday, we discussed the Marsha. I wanted to just go over the Marsha one more time. The Marsha literally takes apart this chapter in Tehillim, and he shows you how every single part of this chapter in Tehillim is related to Mordechai and Esther. So he says the following. At the beginning of this parak in Tehillim, it says, "Hestarta panecha hayisi nifal." Says the Marsha, what does it mean, "Hestarta panecha Hester pal"? Who is Mancha Esther Niskayim? At the time of Esther, when it was a Gzer of Haman, as the Torah says, Haster, Aster is Ponai, and the Tochacha Hashem tells us there's going to be Esther Ponim, and the Gemara in Chulin identifies the name of Esther with Hester Ponim. Esther min HaTor Minayim, where do we find a remez, says the Gemara in Chulin, for Esther in the Torah? Shenemar Haster, Aster Ponai. Okay, so that's the first part. Then, the next part of the Mizmar says, Eilecha Hashem Ekra. And this is very similar to the pasuk that we saw in chapter 22, which Rabbi Shubman Levi had quoted earlier, the theme of calling out to Hashem. This is going to be the tefillah of Mordechai v. Esther. And then, in the tefillah, what do they say? And this is all in this chapter 30. Ma betza bidomi. Now, dummy, interesting, is a reference to money. Where does money come into the picture here? Says the Marsha, Hainu Shiklei Kesef Shenosnu Yisrael. You may remember that Haman collected shkolin from Bnei Yisrael, and then he offered, you know, Achashverosh a good deal. So Ma Betza B'dami, what are we going to gain from these dummy? If Beridity El Shachas, the next part of the pasuk says that if Haman is going to successfully use these shkolim as a medium to get the gzera, to get the official approval of Achashverosh and destroy Chas Shalom the Jewish people, Beridity El Shachas means we'll go down to Shachas, and then what good is our domin? What good are our shkolim? In other words, we want to get some sort of a mitzvah for the shkolim. Machsa Shekel is a great mitzvah. So therefore, the pasuk continues and says, "Shema Hashem v'chaneni." We ask Hashem to give us chanina. Why? Sheyu shiklei kesef, says the Marsha, shal Yisrael dochim shiklei kesef shal Haman. That Haman spoke about the shiklei kesef, and he offered that as something seductive. And we're going to give shkolim to offset, to detonate the destructive power of the shkolim of Haman. Now, what happens with that tefillah of Shema Hashem v'chaneni? Then we get to the apex of this kapitel. It says, "Hafachta mispedi l'macholi," that you've changed, you've transformed the mispeh, the destruction of the Jewish people, to be mochel, in order to waive our chiv, our criminal obligation, our criminal record. You've just given us clemency, and then it says, "Pitachta saki." Now, what is this sack over here in this parak? Again, if this parak is an allusion to Mordechai and Esther, where does the sack come in? Sack is I think translated into English as a sackcloth. Says the Marsha, that's the sack of Mordechai, because it says Vayelbesh sack va'efer, Vayelbesh sack va'efer. And then finally, the end of the pasuk is Vatazreni simcha, meaning La'yehudim ha'isa'or of a simcha. So basically, the Marsha takes every single piece of this capital, and he shows you how it relates to the episode at the time of Mordechai v'Esther. Now, the Ramban adds another piece to the puzzle, because it says, "Laman yizamercha chavod." It sounds like chavod is an active personality. Yizamercha, who is singing the songs of praise to God? It's chavod. Who is chavod? So the Ramban identifies Kavod as the Neshama, and he has many proofs that the Neshama is called Kavod. And in fact, the Mitzudas on this pasuk in Tehillim says that the Neshama is a covenant for the goof, meaning what gives the goof a stature or a status? It's the Neshama within the goof. And therefore, we can now interpret the meaning of this pasuk that the Neshama will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the miracles that God brought about for the sake of the Jewish people. And now again, since the pasuk says Mizmar Leman Zemechavav Velo Yidom, so what's Velo Yidom? Again, the word Velo Yidom, that phrase Velo Yidom, is very reminiscent of Velo Dumyali, which was the pasuk that that Rabbi Shimon Levi brought in, and that means Lashon Velo Yidom means we won't be silent at night. At night also we'll continue to recite the Shevach Hodoya, which takes the form of Kriya Samigin. Okay, for now we can start to do so. Yeah. I just wanted to...
It's just remarkable. You look at this Mizmor, you see nothing about Mordechai and Esther at all.
Right.
It's Mizmor Shel Chanukah Shabbos and David. That's what it's about.
Right.
Chanukah Shabbos, and it's said every day.
That's this psikta, and the Marsha really rips it apart piece by piece. It's amazing.
It is remarkable.
And this gives us Rabbi Chelbel's derivation that Mikra Megillah is both by day and by night. Okay, let's go on.
Rabbi used to say that the most important Kriya of the Megillah is the Yom, not the Laila. Of course,
That's this Tosfos.
Yeah, everyone thinks the Laila, right. It's not so. Right.
The Meiri has a very strange language. He writes, the Koran is HaMegillah Balayla Lifnei Purim. It sounds like he's saying that Purim is by day, and you read the Megillah on the night before Purim. That some of the night before Purim is connected to Purim, but it's not really Purim. And none of the mitzvahs of Purim apply at night.
Right.
And that's what Tosfos quotes the Gemara later on, that Achal Sudasa Balayla Lo Yotzi Dechobasa. So let's go back to the Mishnah now. And this you'll see four lines up from the end of the page. Now the Gemara is going to embark on an analysis of what was the goal here of allowing the kfarim in the villages to read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel, which is called Yom HaKnisa. So the Gemara quotes a statement here of Rabbi Chanina, and the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth as to what Rabbi Chanina actually had in mind. So let's read Rabbi Chanina and translate him literally, and that's going to give us the first understanding of Rabbi Chanina. Later on, the Gemara is going to loosen up a little bit, and we're going to have to sort of rewrite the text. But in the text, as we have it, Chachamim Ikilu Al Akfarim, Lios Makdim Lio Makdisa, and why? Kedeshi Yisapku Mayim Umozon Liacheim Shebekrachim. So what this means is, again, if you take Reb Chanina literally, the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to undermine this interpretation, that the whole purpose of the Kula, that the Chachamim were makil, they allowed the Bnei Akfarim to read earlier, namely on the Yom HaKnis, is all for the purpose, for the sake of the Krachim, those who live in the large cities, who are required to read Megillah on the 15th. In other words, at this point, what we understand in a literal translation of Reb Chanina's statement is that the purpose of this takada, of this kula, was not for the sake of the kfarim, not for the sake of the bnei kfarim who live in the villages to make life easier for them, but rather it's all to set up the krachim, and this takada is for the bnei krachim. And what does this mean? What it means is that if the Bnei HaKfarim, the villagers, will come in to hear the Megillah on an earlier day, then they'll be free to prepare everything that has to be prepared, which is called Mayim U'mazon, for the sake of the Krachim. So that the Krachim could have Mayim U'mazon. Now, it's not clear to me where the reason why we're so concerned that we have such a vested agenda here that the Krachim should have Mayim U'mazon and Mayim is that something that could actually be an all year round thing, and the whole year round, or specifically in terms of Purim, that if the Krachim could fill up their shelves with all the mazon that they have and their refrigerators with all the mayim that they have, then they can enjoy Purim. So let's assume for the time being. Again, I can't swear to on a stack of boxes that this is really pshat. That when we want to facilitate the Krachim, we're trying to enhance their celebration of Purim. How do we enhance and guarantee their celebration of Purim? That already before Purim, their shelves are well stocked, with Mazon Umayim. And why is that? Because the Bnei HaKfarim were free to do that, to dedicate themselves to bring in all the water and all the mazon and all the produce that was necessary for the Krachim. So already we want to free the Bnei HaKfarim of the heavy responsibility of Kriyas HaMegillah and give them an earlier date for Kriyas HaMegillah, so that when we get close to Purim, let's say, for example, on Yudalit, on the 14th of Adar, the Bnei HaKfarim have already fulfilled their obligation of Megillah, so they're absolutely free to do what's best for the community of the Krachim, namely to supply the Krachim with all their needs. And at this point, we're going to turn to Daf Dalet Amid Beis. L'meimra, the Gemara says, should we assume the takanta, the Krachim Avu, that the entire thrust of this takan and the purpose was for the benefit of the Bnei HaKfarim, Krachim, so that the Bnei HaKfarim would be able to supply for the Krachim Mayim U'mazon on the day of Purim. Vehatnan, let's take a look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and you remember that the Mishnah goes through various possibilities and scenarios as to when the 14th, what day of the week the 14th of Adar fell. So the first case that we're going to study now is Chal Lios B'Yom Sheni, B'Sheni B'Shabbos, meaning that the 14th of Adar coincides with Monday. Now, Monday is one of the two Yomei Aknisa. So therefore the Mishnah establishes Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos Korim Bo Bayom on the 14th. Both the villages and of course the city people, the Prozim, will breed it on that day. Now, what the Gemara thinks is that if you're obligating the Kfarim, the villages, to read the Megillah on the 14th, then they're not free on that day to do what they have to do to stock up the shelves of the Bnei HaKrochim. So the Gemara says, "V'im iso likad mil yom haknisa." There should have been a better way of achieving our goal. Instead of having the Kfarim read the Megillah on Monday, in this case, correct? Because we're talking about Monday on Yudalit. Let them read on the earlier day. The early Yom HaKnisa would be Thursday. So you're going to be makdim by 4 days. And now, when we get to the 14th of Adar, the Bnei HaKfarim are free because they've already fulfilled their Chiyuv Megillah on the previous Thursday, the earlier Thursday. So again, even though the 14th of Adar is also Yom HaKnisa, but we want to give the Kfarim, the villagers, a vacation day, so to speak, on the 14th, if the Krachim are going to read on the 15th, because we want to make sure that the day before the Krachim are reading the Megillah, meaning their Purim, the Bnei HaKfarim are free to dedicate themselves l'sapeg mayim u'mazon. And therefore, the Gemara thinks that the logical way they could have done that was to be makdim to the early Yom HaKnis. Instead of having the Kfarim, the Bnei HaKfarim, read on Monday, which is the 14th, let them read on Thursday, the previous Yom HaKnisa, so that the day before Purim, they're absolutely free, what we call in modern Hebrew, pnuyim, right, they'll be pnuyim on the 14th, to be mesapek mayim u'mazon for the Bnei HaKrochim. So the Bnei HaKrochim on the 15th will have everything they need, and they can go out and celebrate, you know, 100% celebration. Now let's take out a calendar, so to speak, I don't mean that literally, and calculate, in the Gemara's Hava Mina now, that the Bnei HaKfarim should read on the Thursday before Yudalit. Yudalit is on a Monday, so let's calculate. If Yudalit is on a Monday, then Sunday would be Yud Gimel. That means that Shabbos would be Yud Beis, correct? That means that Friday would be Yud Aleph. And then that Thursday, the Gemara is pointing out, that should be singling out that day for the Riyah, would be on the 10th of Adar. So that's the Gemara's answer. Yeah. That you're right, logically maybe we should have done that, but it's impossible. Why? Even though the whole focus of the Takon of Yom HaKnisa for the Bnei HaKfarim is for the benefit of the Bnei HaKrochim, but nevertheless, when the 14th of Adar falls on a Monday, it's impossible to be makdim the Bnei HaKforim all the way back to Thursday, because the Havalei Asor, that would be the 10th of Adar. V'asor lo takinu rabbonah. There was never a takana. No, the 10th of Adar was never checked off on the calendar as a day for Kriyas HaMegillah. That day is too early, and we can only go back as early as the 11th, which means the 11th, 12th, 13th. We could only have 3 days earlier. Now, if you remember the Gemara that we had Daf on Beis, the truth is that from the Psukim would indicate that we can only go back 2 days, right? Bismanem or Kayamim, meaning just like there are 2 days of Purim on the 14th and 15th, we find in the Megillah some sort of remez that we could add another 2 days and go back. But that would only give us 2 days. So the Gemara said that the day of Yud Gimel is Yom Kahal. So that was the logical way that we derived Yud Gimel. So if we're adding 2 days through this drush of Vizmaneim or through the drush of Kayamin, that gives us Yud Aleph Yud Beis. But we have no way of going back any earlier to the 10th of Adar. Now the Gemara Lechora could have brought a raya if the Gemara was looking for proof that this takon is not on behalf of the Bnei Akrochim. The Gemara could have brought a raya from the very fact that they weren't mitaken that they could read on the 10th of the Chodesh. But the Gemara apparently thinks that takana would have been impossible simply because the Torah didn't allow you to go that much earlier for the Kriyas HaMegillah. But again, logically, I just want to point out that at this point in the sugya, the Gemara could have said that Hagufa, the very fact that Asor lo takina rabbanon, that must indicate that this takana was not on behalf of the Bnei Akrochim. Because for the best interest of Bnei Akrochim, the Kfarim should be reading on Yud on the 10th. But that's an impossibility. Ooh. Show me. How are you? I can't find Ari. I don't know. I send him emails, he doesn't respond. I don't know. I don't have his phone number, so I don't know what to do. In the last email I sent him, out of desperation, I said, please send me a phone number. Okay. So now we're up to Toshma. So Eric, see if you can clue in on us. We're on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we're on the fourth line. You see, towards the end of the fourth line on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, we're up to Toshma. Okay, so what does it say now in the Mishnah? We're going on in the Mishnah. Chal Lios, we're talking about what day of the week Yudalid fell on, and now we're talking about the case where it coincided with Yom HaChamishi, on the fifth day of the week. That means on Thursday, it was Purim. So what does the Mishnah establish? Kfarim Vayoros Gidolos Korim Bo Vayor. At this point, we're going to have a whole discussion about this later. There's no reason for changing anything as far as the... Certainly not the Prozim, because the Prozim have Purim on that day. That's the 14th, and it's a Thursday. But even as far as the Kfarim are concerned, they also will read on that day, because that's Yom HaKnisa. That's a Thursday. The Yom Isa, the Gemara says, but if your premise is correct, that we want to benefit the Bnei HaKrochim, Likadmu liYom HaKnisa Dacharasaru. Oh. So now, in the case of Thursday, let's go back to Monday. Now, the distance between Monday and Thursday is only 3 days. So if the 14th is on Thursday, it means that the 13th is on Wednesday, which means that the 12th is on Tuesday. It means that the 11th is on Monday. So now we can have our cake and eat it too. We have all the benefits that we need. Number one, we're going to guarantee that the Bnei HaKforim on Yudalid will be free. They have no responsibility to come and hear the Megillah. That'll allow them to facilitate, as we call it, stocking up all the food and the provisions that are necessary for the Bnei HaKrochim. And at the same time, there's no problem for the Yom HaKnisa of Monday, which is on the 11th of Adar, for the Kfarim to read the Megillah on that day. Oh, so the Gemara rejects this. We're still maintaining that the purpose of the Hakadama, the Kedima of the Bnei HaKforim, is for the benefit of the Bnei HaKrochim. You'll ask me why if Yudalid the Adar coincides with Thursday, why can't we be Makdim to the previous Yom HaKnisa, to Monday, which is the 11th of Adar? And the answer is that Yom HaKnisa lo dachinon. That if Purim falls out on Yom HaKnisa, we don't go from one Yom HaKnisa to another Yom HaKnisa. Now, why is that so? So I'm going to read to you the Me'iri, which he quotes here in the footnote. The Me'iri says, we already established that if Purim coincides with Monday, we're not going to go back to Thursday, because Thursday then is on the 10th of Adar. Therefore, they made an absolute rule that knows no exception. In other words, we're always worried about a mistake. If you're going to allow Hakdama from one Yom HaKnisa to another Yom HaKnisa, then you might mistakenly come to the conclusion that we could be Makdim Yom Sheni back to Yom Chamishi. And that we can't do, because if Yom Sheni falls out on the 14th, then the previous Yom Chamishi is going to be on the 10th, and that we can't do. So that's where, according to the Miri, the Gemara came up with this absolute hardcore rule, ironclad rule, that we never mark them from one Yom HaKnisa to another Yom HaKnisa. Toshma, Om Rav Yehuda, Emasai, when were they makil for the Bnei HaKfarim to be mark them Yom HaKnisa? B'mokom shenichnasim b'sheni b'chamishi. Right, there were different minhagim. Some had the minhag that the villagers would come in on Monday and Thursday. For example, those were the days of Din, when the Beis Din sat. But there were other towns in which Beis Din wasn't necessarily committed to sitting on Mondays and Thursdays, and the Bnei HaKfarim would come into the big cities whenever they felt they would come. There was no specific days. That's what Rav Yehuda says in this braisa. I'm sorry, this is a Mishnah later on. Avol makom she'ein nichnasu b'sheni b'chamishi. If the Bnei HaKfarim don't have this definite custom of coming into the big cities on Mondays and Thursdays, ein karno sel bismana, then the Kfarim will read it on the 14th. In other words, basically what Rav Yehuda is saying is that the Bnei HaKfarim don't gain anything by Yom HaKnisa here, because they come in any day that they want. So why not choose the day of Purim? Why not? So, but if on the other hand, Yisal Kedai to Takanta the Krachim Ava, if the whole purpose, the thrust of this takana of Makdim Yom HaKnisa was for the benefit of the Bnei HaKrach in the big cities that are walled, I mean, we're talking about the walled cities that read on the 15th, is Mishum Diei Nechnasim V'Sheni V'Chamishi Mafsadu L'Krachim. There should be an ironclad rule that the Bnei HaKfarim, the villages, should always be reading earlier than the 14th, which means Yom HaKnisa. They should never be reading on the 14th. Why? Because they have to be free on the 14th, and we have to relieve them of any responsibilities so that they could guarantee that they have plenty of time to fill up the stock houses or the drawers and the closets of the Bnei HaKrachim. So again, if your premise is, as we interpreted Rabbi Chanina, which is on the bottom of the previous Omud, that Rabbi Chanina was saying that the whole point of Kedima Liyom HaKnisa on the part of the Bnei HaKfarim was to benefit the Bnei HaKrachim, then who cares if the Bnei HaKfarim come in any day of the week? That doesn't mean that we should therefore undermine the service that they should offer for the Bnei HaKrachim and guarantee that on the 14th of Nisan the Bnei HaKfarim are absolutely free and they have no responsibility. So the Gemara answers, no. Lo tema, you have to rewrite the script of Rabbi Chanina. Again, what I'd ask you to do now is keep one finger on Amud Aleph at the very bottom, and now one finger on Amud Beis. Lo tema, meaning don't read Rabbi Chanina the way we have it. And let's see the way we have it. Kideshi Safku Mayu Umazon Lachem Shemekrochim. Ela Ema, but rather change one word. And it should be Pneisha Mesafkim Mayim Lachem Shemekrochim. No, it's not Kidei, right? Take out the word Kidei, meaning for the purpose of supplying the Krochim, but rather just describe the reality that Mesafkim. So you have to change Yisapku in the future to Mesapkim in the present. Meaning that this Takana, and now I'm going to interpret this Gemara according to Rashi, this Takana was made as a, I don't know if you're familiar with this Israeli phrase, which is Arabic, Chupar. Did you ever hear that word, Chupar?
Yeah. heard the word.
Chupar means, you know, you give him a gift. You know, give him a reward. You know, he, you know, in the army, this is what would happen if we would come on time for everything. They'd give us a chupar. You know, they'd give us an extra chocolate milk, you know, for breakfast. I was 34 years old, so I didn't drink chocolate milk, so it wasn't a big chupar. But anyway, so we're going to give a chupar to the Bnei Hakfarim. Why? Why do they deserve some sort of a gift? And we're going to allow them to make it easier for them in terms of the mitzvah Megillah. We're going to allow them to read the Megillah earlier, so that they don't have to make two treks into the big cities. And this is a payback for the fact that they supply the Bnei HaKrachim, the big city slickers, with mazon u'mayim. So they made a takana as kabbalah schar. It was like a reward. The Chachom wanted to reward the Bnei HaKfarim because these villages who have the farms and they produce and they have the water and stuff and so on, they're doing a great service for the Bnei HaKrachim. They supply them with mazon u'mayim. So therefore, we're going to give them a chupar. We're going to give them a gift. And what gift is? We're going to alleviate them of the tircha, of the tremendous hassle of coming into the cities on Purim, on the day of Purim, for the purpose of hearing the Megillah. Let them come in when anyway they're coming in, on Mondays and Thursdays of the Yom HaKnisa. Therefore, here's the punchline. B'makom she'ein derech b'nei ha'kfarim likaneis b'sheni b'chamishi, in those areas where the Bnei HaKfarim don't actually come in on Mondays and Thursdays. In other words, for those Kfarim, it's not a Yom HaKnisa, and that might be because there's no Bezdin Kavua in the city on those days. Ein Makdimim L'Yom HaKnisa. So it's interesting. The halacha, let's go through the two definitions of the Gemara. The first definition and the purpose of Makdim L'Yom HaKnisa was for the benefit of the Bnei HaKfarim, for the Bnei HaKrachim. If that be the case, then we shouldn't give a hoot one way or the other whether the Bnei HaKfarim in any particular location would come in on Mondays and Thursdays, or they would not come in on Mondays. We just have to guarantee that the Bnei HaKfarim are absolutely free of any responsibility to read the Megillah on the 14th. But if we accept the second definition, that the whole goal here and the purpose of Kedima of the Bnei HaKfarim to Yom HaKnisa was for the benefit and as a chupar, as we said, to give a reward to the Bnei HaKfarim, then are they gaining anything? You know, it makes sense to be makdim the Yom HaKnisa if they benefit from it, because they don't have to come in twice. But if in any event they have freedom of choice to decide which day of the week they're going to come in, and it makes no difference to them, then we're not going to make this takon of Yom HaKnisa.
This seems to be based on the assumption that Yom HaKnisa that the only days that would be fixed for them to be coming in on a regular schedule would be Mondays and Thursdays. What if the fixed schedule was they came in, you know, with the market day when they provided the food was Sundays and Wednesdays, and so if it was on a Wednesday, then they wouldn't be able to be coming in.
It seems that the balabas who presses the button as to when the market would be were the kfarim themselves, meaning the market itself would reflect the decision of the Bnei HaKfarim. So the Bnei HaKfarim had two choices, right? One choice was that they come in on Mondays and Thursdays. Why? Because those are the days of Bezdin Kavua. Again, other Rishonim had another element that on Mondays and Thursdays is Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore we want to get the Bnei HaKfarim in to hear the Torah, because apparently they couldn't read the Torah back in their towns. And the other option is if the Bnei HaKfarim don't come in on Mondays and Thursdays into the cities, then any day that they choose, you know, they could make this arbitrary decision as to which day they want to come in. And if that be the case, there's no need to make a takana of Yom Sheni v'Yom Chamishi. Whenever Purim falls out, let them come in on that day. They don't lose anything.
Now, is this an optional thing? So in other words, if they, let's say the village, one of the villages has somebody who can read the Megillah and they've got a minion that can, you know, so would they therefore not be allowed to come in on, in other words, if they didn't have to, or they could still go in and do it on Monday?
I don't think so. Again, you always have to make the shikul and weigh whether they're benefiting by it. I would assume if they're not benefiting by kedima, you know, kedima is sort of like a fallback position. We're giving a gift to the Bnei HaKfarim if they can appreciate that gift. Meaning, if we save them tircha. So in every situation, we're going to judge whether or not they gain something. So if they gain something because they will come in on a Monday or a Thursday on the Yom HaKnisa, now instead of coming in twice, they can already, you know, how should we say, chaparan the Kriyas HaMegillah those days, so they don't have to come in twice, then it makes sense to do Kedima. If they don't gain anything,
they come in how a woman here. What happens to the woman that, I mean, everyone from the whole village just come into?
That's an excellent question. So again, you remember that we discussed at great length, there's a machlokas between the Ran and other Rishonim as to whether or not there were members of the community of the Kfar who could read the Megillah. The Ran insists, if I remember correctly, again I have to review this, that that when the Bnei Kfar came in, there was one member of the village, you know, who could read the Megillah. So if you go with that, that might answer your question, Eric, that maybe he would read it back for the women folk. But again, we want to make sure that he's reading it together, Barov HaMadras Melech, with the people. If you assume that there were no Korim of Esa Megillah in the villages, they just didn't have any, they were all Amaratzim, then what happens to the women? How did they fulfill their mitzvah of Megillah? Maybe in such a case, like you said before, either the women would have to come into the cities, or I have another possibility, but I don't think it's correct. Okay, now the Mishnah says Ketzad Chalios Pesheni B'Shabbes Kfarim Vayoros. Okay, now we go on to the, I would call this a literary analysis of the Mishnah. You know what? Maybe at this point, let's just turn back to the Mishnah, because I think the Gemara's problem might become clearer if we see the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up with days of the calendar, meaning days of Adar, and it lists Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tesvav. That's what we call the Resha of the Mishnah. Then if you fast forward about five lines to the word Ketzad, and now this word Ketzad is coming to answer, well, when is it on Yud Aleph? When is it on Yud Beis? When is it on Yud Gimel? Etc., etc. So all of a sudden, the Mishnah changes its style, its tune, so to speak. Instead of asking Ketzad Yud Aleph, and then going through the whole list, Ketzad Yud Beis, Ketzad Yud Gimel, it does something else. It speaks about what day of the week fell out on Yud Aleph. Right? So for example, the first example that the Mishnah gives is Chalios Yud Dalet B'Sheni, and then after that we're going to have Chalios B'Shlishi, and then B'Ravi, and then B'Chamishi. It's going to go Keseda through the days of the week. So the Gemara sees at first glance an inconsistency in the style of the Mishnah. The Resh of the Mishnah goes through days of the month in that sequence. The Sefer of the Mishnah is going to go through days of the week. So Ketzad, first the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Chalios B'Sheni B'Shabbos, etc., etc., which means that everybody except for the Korachim will read on that Monday. Maishna Reisha D'Nokat Sidur D'Yarcha. Why is it that in the Reisha the Mishnah uses the Seder of the days of the month? U'Maishna Sefer D'Nokat Sidur D'Yoma goes according to the days of the week. In other words, it's very strange because since the Tana goes through the days of the week, it's going to turn out now that the days of the month are what's called a mafreya. They're going to go backwards. Let's see if we can work that out. Why is the Sefer going backwards in terms of the calendar of the month? Because he's going to start with Monday, meaning that Yud Dalet coincides with Monday. Now, if Yud Dalet coincides with Monday, then when we get to the next part of the Sefer, when it says that Yud Dalet coincides with Tuesday, just one second, Ukshachal B'Shlishi, that if Yud Dalet coincides with Shlishi, then the Bnei Kfarim are going to read on Yud Gimel. So now we're going from Yud Dalet to Yud Gimel. We're literally going backwards, you know, whereas the ratio of the Mishnah goes forwards and in a logical way presents the sequence chronologically from Yud Aleph to Tesvav, with regard to the same calendar days in the sequence of the Sefer going through day by day, does Yidal fall on Monday, does Yidal fall on Tuesday, etc., etc. We're going to actually go backwards, and we're going to work from Yidal back to Yid Gimel, back to Yid Beis, and then finally back to Yid Aleph. So in a certain sense, you know, this reminds me a little of the eye. You know, when I was in elementary school, they told us that the eye actually sees things upside down or something like that. Or am I thinking of a count?
No, the lens reverses it, but our mind, our brain...
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, the light comes in when we're seeing it, the image on our retina is the reverse of what, and then our brain...
The reverse. So it's almost like the image of the sefer is the reverse of the sefer, of the ratio. That bothers the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, Aydi de mishafchele nokat sidure de yome. He says the following, that if the Sefer would have followed the same pattern as the Reisha for the sake of the integrity or the uniformity of the Mishnah, and it would have gone through the Yemei HaKodesh, it would have created a certain kind of confusion and a lack of clarity. Why? Because if we're going to go through the Seder of Yemei HaKodesh, then the Tana is going to have to start with Chalios Achar HaShabbos. Right, because if he wants to get a situation where the Bnei HaKfarim are reading on Thursday, which means the Thursday before Yud Aleph, right? In other words, if we would have started here by analyzing Yud Aleph, when is the case where the Bnei HaKfarim are going to read on Yud Aleph? That would be a case where with the Yom HaKnisa is on a Thursday. Then the next case, which would be Yud Beis. Right, Achrav Hoyelo Limkod Shechalios B'Shavis Shekorin B'Yom HaChamishi Shalafon of Dahainu Yibayis. So if you want to get Yibayis, then you're going to tell me that they're going to read on the Thursday before that. In other words, what you're going to do here is you're going to mess up the whole Seder. You're going to go through the days of the week L'Mafreya, and you're going to start with Thursday, and then you go earlier and earlier and earlier. That's going to be very confusing. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that there was a choice situation that the Mishnah had to face. One option was to maintain the integrity of the Reisha and go through the days of the month. The other option was to undermine, so to speak, the consistency here, and instead of going through the days of the month, go through the days of the week. And even though there's an advantage to going through the days of the month, because then you maintain the consistency, but the loss is greater than the benefit, because if we're going to go through the days of the month, then the days of the week are going to go backwards, and if the days of the week go backwards, that's going to cause a great confusion. So for the sake of clarity, we'd rather have an analysis of all the possibilities of Yom HaKnisa, starting with the days of the week and going forward with the days of the week, starting with the case where Monday coincided with your diet. And then we're going to go straight from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday, Thursday. So that's a clearer way. Okay. Now, Rav Hosai, we get to the main sugya for today.
The Rashi. Look at the length of the Rashi.
Yeah, I don't know if we have time.
This little Gemara.
Do you want to go through the whole Rashi?
No.
I'll tell you the truth. Let me do this. B'li neder, I'm going to find time today to go through this Rashi with a fine-tooth comb. And if you'll rely on me, I'll decide whether or not we should spend 15 minutes tomorrow on Rashi. I'm always trying to juggle, you know, our time.
All right.
So now we start a brand new sugya. Okay. This sugya starts with a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. That's going to be our goal for the rest of this morning, the next 15 minutes or whatever time we have. And then it's going to go through a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, which is a whole different issue. So we're going to focus today on Rebbe. So the Mishnah says the following, Chal Lios B'Erev Shabbos, in a case where the 14th of Adar coincides with Friday, then the Kfarim are going to read on, Thursday, which would be Yud Gimel. Now the big cities, together with the Mukafim Choma, are going to read it on that day on the 14th. Normally the Mukafim Choma read on what day? On the 15th. But here there's no possibility of their reading on the 15th, because the 15th is Shabbos and the Gzeirah D'Rabbah that we discussed at great length. So now in this case, what we're going to have is that the Ayoros, the Prozim, are going to read the the prozim are going to read on the same day as the Karachim. Okay, and the Bnei Akfarim will read one day earlier on a Thursday because of the Makdim Liyom HaKnisa. And that's going to be an issue. We're going to see a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rebbe in just a minute about whether or not it's possible that the Ayoros and the Krochim should read on the very same day. So the Gemara says now, Masnisim Mani, this Mishnah, who does it reflect? E Rebbe, E Reb Yossi. Meaning we're going to have two issues. And there's going to be a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chacham on one issue. There's going to be a machlokas between Rebbe Yossi and the Chacham on a different issue. I'm going to see that this Mishnah reflects both Shitos. In other words, you can reconcile that Mishnah both with Rebbe and with Rebbe Yossi. Okay, now the Mishnah, there's a rule when we learn the Mishnah called Halacha Kistam Mishnah. And if this Mishnah reflects both the Shita of Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, then we're going to have to paskin like both of them against the Tanakama, which we'll see in the Brice as we go along. And the Gemara is making that comment that, fine, you know, Halacha Kistam Mishnah means if the Mishnah reflects a Das Yachid, in this case either Rebbe in one issue or Rebbe Yossi in another issue, then we're going to paskin like that Das Yachid against the Rabbim. And this is going to be the exception to Halacha Kirabim, and the reason is because Halacha Kistam Mishnah. So the Gemara has a vested interest here, an agenda here, to emphasize that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like Rebbe. And then we'll get to Rebbe Yossi Blinetter a little bit later. My Rebbe. Where is the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chacham? Desanya, we have a braisa. Chal, if your dalit falls on, coincides with Erev Shabbos. Is the Tanakhama says that Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos Makdim Liyom HaKnisa Umukafim Choma Korim Bo Bayom, that we have to go out of our way. This is the Tanakhama. We'll soon see the Rebbe disagrees, and our Mishnah reflects Rebbe, but the Tanakhama, this Braisa, insists that we cannot have the Ayoros reading on the same day as the Krochim. So what we're going to do in this case of a Friday is we're going to have to allow the Ayaros to join hands with the Kfarim and recite the Megillah on Thursday, which is the Yom HaKnisa. So for the Kfarim, that's move on Me'elah. But for the Ayaros, why can't they read on a Friday? And the answer is because they can't read on the same day as the Mukafim Choma. There's some sort of ironclad rule according to this Tanakhama. We'll see where the Tanakhama derives this from in a pasuk in the Megillah. That you cannot have both the Ayoros and the Krachim reading the Megillah on the same day. So since in this case the Krachim have no possibility of reading the Megillah on Tesvav because of Shabbos, and again Tezayim Sunday is not an option because below Yavar. So the only option for the Bnei Akrochim is to read it on Friday, which is okay. So they'll read on Friday on the 14th. That's not tragic. But now we have a problem, says the Tanakhama. If they're reading on the 14th, then we cannot allow the Ayoros to read on the 14th, and therefore we're going to have the Ayoros read on the 13th. This is wild, Rabbo. So we've never actually encountered the following logical possibility that Yom HaKnisa, that Makdimim, in this case it happens to be the Yom HaKnisa, would apply to the Ayoros. That's wild. You know, in my wildest dreams, I never thought that there's a din of Kedima Yom HaKnisa for the Ayoros. But the Tanakhama is in a bind, because in this situation, the only option for the Bnei Akrochim is that Friday, which is the 14th of Adar. And the Ayoros could not possibly read on the same day as the Kfarim, as the Krochim, which is going to be a Chok Velo Yavar that we're going to derive from a pasuk. But Rebbe says what we know to be naturally the case. Rebbe Omer Omrani, I would say, Lo Yidachu Ayoros Mim Komon. Let's not uproot the Ayoros from the mitzvah of reading the Megillah on Purim, which is Yudalit. There's no need to be mocked into Yud Gimel and have them read on the Yom HaKnisa on Thursday together with the Bnei Akfarim. Ela Elu V'Elu, whether it be the Ayoros or the Mukafas Choma, let them read on the same day, Korim Bo Bayom, on the 14th of Adar. Again, the Krachim have to read on the 14th because of Shabbos, and the Ayoros will read on the 14th because they always read on the 14th. Ah, you have a problem. He's talking to Tanakhama. You have a problem that you can't have both the Ayoros and the Kruch and reading on the same day. I don't have any problem with that. Either Rabbi Shalom al Yisrael. Again, if the Kruchim didn't have to read on the 14th, you know, everything would be fine. So you split between the Ayoros that read on the 14th, the Kruchim read on the 15th. But if the Kruchim have no other option to read on the 14th, Sulzain Azoy, let it be like that. And both the Kfarim and both the Ayoros and the Kruchim will read on the same day. So Gemara immediately asks, my time in Tanakhama. Where did the Tanakhama come up with this strange conclusion that we must separate the reading of the Megillah for the Ayoros and the reading of the Megillah of the Kruchim? And the answer is the Tziv. And I'll read the whole pasuk to you. It says, "Kibu v'kibu ayehudim aleihem lios osim eshnei ayomim aile kiksavam ukizmanom." Again, shnei ayomim aile means two different dates: the 14th and the 15th. Bechol shana v'shana. Why did the Torah add bechol shana v'shana? The Tanakh, because it wants to tell you that this pattern of yom yudalit and tesvav, meaning shnei yomim aile, is always it's engraved in stone. There are no exceptions. Ma kol shana b'shana, just like in every single year, with the exception of this case of Yudalit on a Friday. Ayoros kodmin kodmos lemukafim. You have two different days of Purim for Kriya, and the Ayoros will read a day earlier than the mukafim. Is afkan here too in the case where the 15th of Adar fell on a Shabbos? Is so too, Ayoros, Kodmin, Lumukafin. Lumukafin have to read it on the 14th. They have no choice. And now we're going to have to make sure that the Ayoros read it earlier. Now, Rabosai, I'm wondering out loud here whether or not this halacha of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, is predicated on the concept of Yom HaKnisa. As you remember, we had two different derivations for the concept of Yom HaKnisa, whether it's Maneim or Kayomim. You remember that? Back on Daf Beis. Once we had this breakthrough that the Megillah could be read earlier than Yudalit, meaning that Yud Gimel, for example, lends itself to Kriyas HaMegillah, if it's the Yom HaKnisa, like in this case, because Thursday is going to be Yud Gimel. So once Yud Gimel was invested with the status of Kriyas HaMegillah, now we can solve this problem of B'chol Shana V'Shana. What I'm asking is, what would be if we had never had halacha of Yom HaKnisa? There was no such derivation, and there were only 2 days of Purim, Yudalit and Tesvav. Would this pasuk of Kol Shana V'Shana be powerful enough independently to break new ground and have a din of Kedima for Yud Gimel? I don't know. You hear what I'm saying? That logically, it seems to me that once we've already established Yud Gimel as a possible day of Megillah for the benefit of the Kruch of the Kfarim, and that's based on those limudim, and there's a din of Kedima Yom HaKnisa, now that Yom HaKnisa became a Yom of Kriyas HaMegillah, now we can jump on the bandwagon and have the Ayaris join the Bnei HaKfarim and read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa. But if there never was Allah of Yom HaKnisa, I don't know. How far can you go with this drasha of B'chol Shana V'Shana to break new ground? You know, let's read the Megillah on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. You know, how far can you go? I don't know. All right. Now the Gemara says, "Nay, that's not what the pasuk means. You, the Tanakhama, are going way too far." Now the Gemara is really defending the sheet of our Mishnah and the sheet of Rebbe in the Brisa. The Ema, let's say it like this: Bechol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana, Ein Nidach Ma'Yaris Mimkomahan. Just like classically, we always read for the Ayaris. We always have the day of the 14th to read the Megillah. Afkan, even here in the case where Shabbos is the 15th of Adar is on a Shabbos, and therefore the Mukafim have to read earlier, meaning on a Thursday. Lo yidach ayaros mimkomon. So the Gemara answers, Shani hacha delo efshar. Now that since on this particular year it's impossible to be mekayim that the ayaros would be before the Mukafim, So then what are we going to do? So the Tanakhama says, in this particular case, we don't have a choice. Why? Because he's learning that this B'chol Shana V'Shana is teaching us that the Ayaros have to read on a different day earlier than the Mukafim. And therefore we're going to have to introduce Yud Gimel as a possibility. So let me just read to you the Hebrew, and then we'll stop here. Hey Yos, since B'Shana Zu I Efshal L'Kayim Shnan, we can't have both. We have a head-on collision here. We can't have, on the one hand, that the Ayoros should come before the Mukafim. And we can't maintain the consistency of the Ayoros reading on Yudalit. We're going to have to, you know, something has to give way over here, right? You have two choices. Either what's going to give way is that the Ayoros will read on their day, which is the 14th, which means they'll read together with the Mukafim. Or if we want to make sure and guarantee that the Ayoros read before the Mukafim, we're going to have to uproot the Ayoros from their day. And therefore the Tanakhama holds that in this case, when we're weighing one possibility against the other, we want to make sure that the Ayoros should come before the Mukafim, and therefore let them read, let the Prozim read on Yud Gimel together with the Kfarim on Yom HaKnisa, and the Mukafim will read on Yud Dal.
What is it? Why can't we
That's because of the Gzeirah D'Rabbah. Anyway, let's review that very quickly. That because it takes a certain expertise to read the Megillah, the fear is that you'll take the Megillah and inadvertently, without even thinking, you'll cross over the bounds of Rosh Hashanah.
Right,
okay. Do you remember that?
Yes. Then we have the same thing, though, that when the Megillah is being read, that it pushes off all these other things. So it's more important than the Voda, but it doesn't push off the
Zayin Durav is literally set in stone. You know?
I know, but it's but the rice, some people say that it's for the Voda for the Seabor. That pushes off.
The answer is that as great as Avoda is and as great as Talmud Torah D'Rav is, one thing is greater than all, that's the Shabbos.